Good evening and welcome to City Visions. I'm Grace Wan. How are you planning to vote on Prop 6? Tonight, as part of our ongoing election coverage, we will dive into the pros and cons of Prop 6, which would repeal an additional tax on gas and vehicle registrations that was approved last year. To date, that law has generated over $5 billion for the state's transportation infrastructure. Everyone agrees that California has major transportation infrastructure needs, but how to pay for them is a different story. Today, California has a budget surplus, and some believe that an additional tax on gas just isn't necessary. To others, it's important to have special funds dedicated to transportation to preserve spending on other priorities like education or social services. Does the additional tax on gas unfairly burden Californians who can least afford it? What other funding sources or levers does the state have that could support transportation needs? Has the tax done its job, and how will the state fund infrastructure without it? To discuss the merits of Prop 6 and the consequences of voting for or against it, I'm pleased to be joined in the studio by Harmeet Dhillon. Harmeet is a trial lawyer in San Francisco, a former candidate for office, and a Republican National Committee member from California, and a longtime conservative activist. Welcome, Harmeet.
Thanks, Grace.
And Carl Guardino. Carl is the president and CEO of the Silicon Valley Leadership Group, a public policy trade association. He has been appointed to the California Transportation Commission by both Governor Schwarzenegger and Brown. Additionally, he has championed a number of ballot measures in the areas of transportation and housing. Welcome, Carl.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. And by phone, I'm pleased to be joined by Dr. Martin Wachs. Martin is a distinguished professor emeritus of civil and environmental engineering and city and regional planning at UC Berkeley. He is the former director of the UC Transportation Center and the department chair of the Department of Planning at UCLA. Welcome, Martin.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Great. And in 20 minutes, we will invite you, our listeners, to join our conversation by dialing 866-798-TALK. Again, that's 866-798-8255. Send us your questions and comments at any time by emailing us at cityvisions@kalw.org. Well, I thought to start the conversation, we really need to understand the underlying law, which is called Senate Bill Number 1. Martin, can you explain how that law came about and what it does?
Yes. The gasoline tax is an excise tax, which is levied in cents per gallon, not as a percentage of the sale price. So the legislature has to raise the tax every now and then in order for it to keep up with inflation. And then on top of that, with vehicle fuel efficiency increasing, in order to raise enough money, the tax has to get higher in order to produce the same amount of revenue that it did when vehicles got 10 or 12 or 15 miles per gallon, and now they get 40 miles per gallon. So the tax has to be higher to yield as much as it used to per mile of driving. So periodically, the legislature has raised the tax. But recently, it hadn't for many years, and so the buying power of the revenue had declined, and there was a backlog of mostly maintenance projects, but also new capital investments. So in the spring of 2017, the legislature acted. It raised, in SB1, it raised the base gasoline excise tax. It raised the diesel fuel tax. It added to our vehicle registration fees of between $25 and $175 per vehicle, depending on the value of the vehicle. And for the very first time, it added a fee on electric vehicles, which, of course, pay no gas tax at all. And so it added a modest fee of $100 a year on electric vehicles as a first step, I think, toward trying to be fair in charging electric vehicles as long alongside gasoline-powered vehicles.
And Carl, this so Senate Bill 1 has been around for a year. What has it funded so far?
Thank you again for having me on the show, Grace.
You're welcome.
So far, the Senate Bill 1 has moved forward with 6,500 different improvements in all 58 of California's counties, 481 of 482 cities. And there's a prize for anyone who can say the city that has not yet drawn on that.
Well, now I'm curious. Do you know who it is?
Fort Jones, Siskiyou County, population 839. And they just have not yet applied for their funds with 839 residents.
Well, so, if you're listening in Siskiyou, you should call in.
if you're signal goes to Siskiyou, more power to you. So where do the funds go? It's, as Dr. Wachs said, it generates about $5.2 billion a year. $1.9 billion of that, Grace, will go for our highway system, 51,900 state highway lane miles, 13,000 state bridges. 1,600 of our bridges are in unsafe and deficient conditions. $1.8 billion will go for our local streets and roads. We have 305,000 local street and road lane miles and another 12,000 bridges and overcrossings. So 7 out of every $10 will make sure that our roads are safer and in better condition for our motorists. The remaining 3 out of 10, $750 million, goes for transit improvements, especially in urban areas like ours that depend on it. Think the BART extension into San Jose and downtown Santa Clara, electrifying and modernizing Caltrain commuter rail service, the SMART train for those of us who enjoy going up to the wine country in Sonoma Marin area, rapid transit, 100 miles for those, $100 million a year for those of us who prefer two wheels to four wheels. Most of my commute is by bicycle, 17 miles each way, each day. And so we want to get more people out of their cars and burning carbs rather than carbon. So $100 million a year of that $5.2 billion is for bike safety, pedestrian safety, safe routes to schools for my little girls, et cetera. And that covers almost all of it for vehicles in our park and rec system. There's a modest amount there for agriculture vehicles. There's a modest amount there for those tow trucks you see on Bay Area freeways that try to move traffic jams by pulling people off of our freeways and local streets and roads. There's a modest amount of about $25 million a year there. Mm-hmm. Dr. Wachs and his expertise, I believe at UCLA, will know there's about $5 million or $7 million a year towards, I think, 4 or 5 universities towards R&D in transportation improvements. And together as a package, that is what SB 1 provided, again, through the California Transportation Commission and Caltrans. 6,500 projects have already been approved and are moving forward in those categories.
That's a lot of projects. Harmeet, tell me why this particular proposition should be passed. It sounds like there are a lot of infrastructure needs that are being met by the tax itself. And what are the objections to how SB 1 has been working?
Sure. Well, jumping off of what some of the points Carl just made, a lot of the things that he described are desirable projects for our infrastructure. Our infrastructure in California is woefully inadequate in many ways. The problem is that, first of all, only a third of the funds that have been raised so far are being budgeted and allocated towards Caltrans for the core purpose for which this tax was advertised, SB 1, namely our highways, our bridges, our crumbling infrastructure. A lot of that money is instead being used for social engineering projects like bike lanes. I mean, it's very nice to hear Carl talk about riding to work on a bicycle and then using the train to go up to wine country. Those are luxuries for wealthy people. And a lot of people who work here in the Bay Area actually have to commute 2 hours from their homes in more affordable areas to get to work. And for them, there's no bicycle riding to get to work. There's no weekend time to go on the wine train. They actually have a huge impact to their economic situation from the approximately $1,800 that is imposed on a two-car household to pay for this gas tax increase. And so when you add up the amount of money out of pocket, it's about $1,500. Gross that up with the taxes at a lower income tax rate, it's $2,000. That's 2 years worth of Christmas presents for a family of four. That's books. That's a lot of other necessities of life. And so this tax is the most regressive possible tax, and that's the objection to it. So it's an unfair tax that imposes a huge burden on the people who can afford it the least. Secondly, the problem in California is that all of these types of well-intentioned taxes that raise money for a specific purpose, they get raided by the legislature for other purposes. And we've seen that happen with prior gas taxes and prior taxes and bonds that are allocated for improvement of our infrastructure. So if we actually imposed a rule that all of the prior taxes that have been raised and that we're already paying were actually allocated towards fixing the highways and the bridges and all the desirable projects that Carl just described, we wouldn't need this tax. But instead, what has happened is that the taxes that have been raised previously under the guise of infrastructure and improving our roads and our safety have actually been used for plugging holes in pensions and rainy day funds and have been used for purposes entirely different than that. So that's the reason I think that taxpayers are fed up. This is like Lucy with the football, and we're not going to get fooled again. And that's why we need relief from this unnecessary tax, and we need to impose discipline and start spending the money previously raised for these purposes.
Martin, what do you say about that, that there's already the funds, we've already raised the funds through previous taxes, and maybe we should learn how to spend it better so that we don't have an additional tax like this? Martin? Well,
I'm sorry. The first thing, I'm having just a little bit of trouble hearing on the phone line is very faint. But one thing I wanted to mention before responding to the question is that the figure that was used was $2,000 per household. That was, I presume that means the total expenditure on gasoline, not just on the proceeds of the tax, because my calculations show that it would be closer to $200 to an individual family in the next couple of years. And so I'm presuming you mean their total expenditure on gasoline, not just on the tax.
No, I mean just on the tax. A two-car household that is commuting in the Bay Area, the long distances that people have to commute, grossed up for post-tax, pre-tax earnings.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, Harmeet, with due respect, that is completely wrong. And I think that's what Dr. Wachs was just about to say. The average cost per driver for the vehicle registration increase will be $47.85. So let me give you an example. 50% of California cars' depreciated value is less than $5,000 a car. That's $25 a year. Through this, the average in terms of fuel increase by this is less than $10 a month, less than. The total is $117, not $750 per person. What you might be confusing, though, is the cost of the conditions of our roads, and Dr. Wachs can confirm this or clarify if I'm wrong. That's $739 a year in costs because of the crumbling conditions of our local streets and roads. That's the repair on our vehicles when we hit a pothole, when our car goes out of alignment, when our shocks are impacted, the wear and tear in our vehicle, and the worst gas mileage we get when it's a washerboard condition on our road. That's what $739 a year. I'm glad that we all care about the working poor. If we care about the working poor as we do, then we want them to have better roads so that they're not spending as much money. And I'm going to give you an example because it's not only money, it's safety. And that's what makes Prop 6 so dangerous. Mm-hmm. My example, in my official capacity on the California Highway Transportation Commission, used to be called the Highway Commission, Transportation Commission, I was on 580 going from Silicon Valley to the Central Valley. I had a huge semi on my left, a huge semi on my right, and I'm driving in my 2010 Prius, which is a Kelley Book Blue value of only $6,000, so I'm not the rich person that Harmeet just tried to make me out to be. I'm driving down that. I hit a pothole so big on Highway 580 that my back right tire blew and turned into shredded cheese instantly. It pulled me over to the right. I almost hit that truck on the right, pulled over to a very narrow lane. And if you've been on 580, the trucks are flying down that hill, where I waited for 2.5 hours because I was out of range of the tow truck's driver's GPS. 3 hours later, with a new tire and new alignment and a wallet thinner by $800 just from that one experience, I traveled on my way to Sacramento to meet with legislative leaders. And here's the irony. It was to talk to them about the crumbling conditions of our 51,900 road miles. So it is not $750 a year through this tax. Please do the math. Data matters. It is 1/7 of what you just said on the air. And this is why, from a safety perspective, the California Professional Firefighters, the California Association of Highway Patrolmen, the American Society of Civil Engineers all oppose Proposition 6. We know it's dangerous. We know we need better roads and traffic conditions. We're sick and tired of being stuck on the freeways here in the Bay Area and beyond, and the safety and the condition of those roads as well. Dr. Wachs, we've never met, I don't think, in person, but if I said anything that's incorrect, I hope you will correct me.
I believe that what you've said is completely correct, and I would add that for the first time, SB1 did add a charge on electric vehicles, and electric vehicles are owned by and operated by relatively wealthy people, because the typical cost of an electric vehicle is closer to $60,000. So if Proposition 6 were to pass, the initial charge of $100 a year, which presumably over time will rise, will free the richer people of a fee that's imposed upon them. Similarly, the transportation improvement fee is a function of the value of a vehicle, and lower income people only have to pay $25 a year. But if you have a car that's worth $60,000, you'd have to pay $175. So it is true, it's absolutely true, that the gasoline tax is a regressive tax. But the legislature recognized that and built in some additional components to SB1 which try to be more progressive. And the alternatives of sales taxes, for example, we have local option sales taxes for transportation in effect in 26 counties right now. Los Angeles has 2% sales tax just for transportation. That's actually more regressive, because at least when you pay a gasoline tax, you're paying for the use of the road, and you pay the more you drive, the more you pay, whereas the sales tax is charged even on people who don't have cars. So the gasoline tax, it is correct to say that it's a regressive tax, but the alternatives are also regressive, and in some cases more regressive.
And well, I need to comment.
Are we going to have a filibuster here? Because it seems like only one side is getting to speak.
Well, you said several statements that just weren't accurate, Harmeet. Respectfully, you said that bikes are a luxury for wealthy people. Most people who bike commute in California are poor people. They're the working poor who can't afford a car. And I just need to
correct
that.
How do you get here from Tracy on a bike? You can't. So you need to be corrected.
Right, which is why we need congested.
And I don't have emotional anecdotes here, because, you know, I don't think those are appropriate in a policy discussion.
Well, let's go back to one of Harmeet's points, which was that the legislature has raised a lot of funds. We're in a surplus situation with the budget. And a legitimate question, I think, is do we really need to have another tax when we have a surplus right now? And maybe the legislature needs to do a better job of allocating the money that it's been it's raised. Martin, can you address that point?
What is an efficient action on the part of Caltrans is subject to evaluation, and subjectively, some of us would agree that some of the things that they do are efficient, and some of us would look at the same things and say they're inefficient. So, for example, one of the programs that is funded by SB1 allows Caltrans to purchase land where there are endangered species habitats, to hold that land in advance of building any transportation facilities, and later to use it as mitigation under our environmental laws, making it easier to build the facility when it's going to be under construction. And that might be 5 or 10 or 15 years later. Now, you can look at that and say that's inefficient because they're not spending the money directly on fixing the roads right now. My view is that over a 20 and 30-year time period, that's enormously efficient, because it cuts down on the delays and it lowers the cost of new projects in the future. I would not consider that to be inefficient. Of course, any large state bureaucracy can find ways of improving its activities, but SB1 is at question right now on Proposition 6, not the overall performance of Caltrans. And SB1 contains some very important initiatives, like the one I just described, which I think contribute to the long-term efficiency of our transportation system.
Well, this is City Visions on Local Public Radio, 91.7 KALW San Francisco, and on the web at KALW.org. Tonight, we're diving into the pros and cons of Prop 6 with our guests, Carl Guardino. Carl is the president and CEO of the Silicon Valley Leadership Group, a public policy trade association, and a member of the California Transportation Commission. We also have Harmeet Dhillon, a trial lawyer and former candidate for assembly and a Republican National Committee member. And on the phone, we have Dr. Martin Wax. Martin is a former director of the UC Transportation Center and the department chair of the Department of Planning at UCLA. We invite you to call in with your questions and your comments. What do you think the state's transportation funding priority should be? How are you planning to vote on Prop 6? Please call in at 866-798-TALK. Again, that's 866-798-8255. Or you can email us now at cityvisions@kalw.org or post a comment on kalw.org or our Facebook page. You can also find us on Twitter at cityvisionskalw. Harmeet, I wanted to turn to you. When it comes to the editorial boards of the statewide newspapers, very few, I think only the Orange County Register is in favor of Proposition 6, and the overwhelming sentiment of the editorial boards is to vote no on Prop 6. And largely that's because it seems like the Senate Bill 1 has been effective in funding important and necessary transportation needs. What do you say about that?
Well, I'm sure we would have very efficient funding if we taxed people at 100% too, but that's not really how it works. The problem is that a lot of the voices in California who are most impacted by these massive tax increases at every level, and they include from NIMBY attitudes to housing that really complicate this transportation issue in California, to these transportation taxes, to employment taxes, to sales taxes and income taxes. Those people have left California, and fewer and fewer people are reading those newspapers that are saying, yes, please continue to raise the taxes, because that's how they vote on just about everything. They want more money for the government to spend on various things. But I don't know how you can have an intelligent conversation about this tax and any tax involving transportation without looking at the gross inefficiency of Caltrans. Reason Magazine and other studies have shown that the cost of doing a mile of road here in California, maintaining it, improving it, is 4.7 times what it is in other states. That's a 470% inefficiency. How can you not talk about that? We have tons of people at Caltrans who don't have enough work to do every day. A lot of the money that we raise for these types of projects, and why so many lobbyists and so much money are behind this, are for unions. You know, unions need workers to work on these projects and fill their coffers. And again, you want to give emotional anecdotes, I can give you names of dozens of people who've left California because this was one too many taxes. And on top of that, this tax, if it was so great, why did Democratic leaders have to one by one bribe various Democrats in vulnerable districts and mixed districts to vote for it with $500 million here and $100 million there? So this kind of dirty way that this thing was passed in the first place is the reason why so many taxpayers are so angry about it and why it needs to be repealed.
Well, let's talk about, is it more expensive to repair roads in California than elsewhere, Carl?
Well, you asked a different question about editorial boards, and I'm not sure that was answered. So let me start there, and then I'll go to your second question, okay, Grace, because both are fair. The truth of the matter is that every Bay Area newspaper, every single one that has taken a position on Proposition 6 has been adamant in its opposition to Proposition 6, and that's for several reasons. But let me just mention a handful of those papers. The Marin Independent Journal, the Santa Rosa Press Democrat, the San Francisco Chronicle, the Petaluma Argus Courier, the East Bay Times, the San Jose Mercury News, the San Francisco Business Times, the Santa Cruz Sentinel. Every single Bay Area paper that's opined has opined in opposition. And why is that? It's how dangerous and cynical this measure is and the impact that it will have in destroying our transportation system. And let me dive into that. The LA Times calls this the even worse are the cynical motives behind Proposition 6. Modesto B. is it's Proposition 6 is a cynical political ploy. The only reason this is on the ballot is to give anti-tax Republicans a reason to go to the polls. Party bosses are hoping that while they're there, they'll vote for a conservative candidate. Santa Rosa Press Democrat, Prop 6 is a cynical approach. The Chronicle, a cynical political ploy that would destroy California's roads. Grace, let me remind remind your listeners how this got on the ballot. The signatures were collected because the National Republican Party and GOP leaders, including the Speaker of the House, GOP leader Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, his super PAC helped fund it. Steve Scalise, the majority whip from Louisiana, his super PAC funded it. Kevin McCarthy, majority leader, $300,000 for this. Six Republican congressional candidates at risk funded it because they see this as a way to keep the House of Representatives. Why are papers so against it? In addition, not the politics, which are not appropriate, but the policy. It's the cost of bad roads in traffic. The San Luis Obispo Tribune, bad roads cost the average San Luis Obispo resident almost twice of what it costs the average California resident of $1,419 a year in maintenance and repair and lost fuel efficiency. San Francisco Chronicle, similar. California's roads are ranked as some of the worst in the country. I found it interesting that Harmeet said that she was concerned at first that only a third of these funds go to Caltrans. That's, as Dr. Wax could confirm, two-thirds go to our localities. They go to the cities and counties for those street maintenance and pothole repair funds. So after lamenting that only a third goes to Caltrans, she then attacks Caltrans as grossly inefficient.
I don't want the bill at all. I don't think another penny should go to Caltrans until we discipline the fact that if we actually spent the money that's already been raised for these purposes on these laudable goals of having passable roads in California, we didn't need this tax. So that's the problem.
Well, I'm just curious, Carl. My original question is it more expensive to fix roads in California?
So Harmeet is quoting an organization called the Reason Foundation, who mm-hmm. still hasn't said where they got the funds for their study, where they said that it was more expensive to repair roads in California. So let's look at that closely for a moment. They didn't say lane miles. They said lanes. So in California, we have highways that are 3, 4, 5 lanes in each direction. Pick Arkansas, 1 or 2 lanes in each direction. Oh. And they counted miles, not lane miles. Second, we are blessed to be the import hub for 20% of all the imports coming into the United States. Those go in trucks mainly, but also in rail cars, and they beat up our roads a lot more than they do in states like Arkansas. And as I'm sure Marty Wax could confirm or tell me if I'm wrong on this, but those are the reasons where data matters over dogma. You have to count all the lane miles, not just the lanes, and you have to remember what's going on those roads. That's why $375 million a year of this $5.2 billion are for those freight corridors. Think 880, 580, 680, and others where people may say it's dramatic, but when people are almost losing their lives or losing their lives on our roads, in part because of the conditions, NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, 2016 data, we lost 3,627 Californians in road collisions, many, according to NHTSA, based on the conditions of our roads. Those aren't sob stories. Those are human lives.
Well, we have a full phone line, so let's go to one of our listeners. Lisa in Solano County.
Hi, my name is Lisa. I'm a nurse, and I'm Latina, so I represent the Latino community. And I'm very disappointed. I feel that this prop is on the ballot because we should have been given a choice of taxpayers and everybody that voted to vote, and we didn't have the we couldn't vote because it was just put through legislation. And I have to tell you that this is going to affect everybody. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Independent, or Republican. Every one of us that commute, and most of us do, because we can't live in the Bay Area, so we live outside the Bay Area. My husband and I, we both commute every single day, at least 90 miles each, back and forth. So it's going to cost way more than the $800 that you said. It's going to be more like the $2,000, which we've calculated with everything else. Not only that, it affects the farmers. We have a lot of farmers up here in Northern California, and in order for them to get their produce out, it's going to cost them more. That means it's going to cost the stores more, and guess what that means? They're going to be taxing us. And I feel if we don't vote yes on 6 to repeal the gas tax, what's going to happen is the legislators think that they're going to be able to tax our phones, our water, and they're going to go after Prop 13, which protects our homes. And so this is on the ballot because it should be on the ballot. It should be on the ballot, but it is because you didn't give us a choice. You didn't give us a choice to make a decision and vote.
Oh, thanks for your comment there, Lisa. I appreciate that. This is City Visions on Local Public Radio, 91.7 KALW San Francisco, and on the web at KALW.org. Tonight, we're debating the pros and cons of Prop 6 with our guests, Harmeet Dhillon, a trial lawyer in San Francisco and a former candidate for Assembly. We also have Carl Guardino, the president and CEO of the Silicon Valley Leadership Group, a public policy trade association, and a member of the California Transportation Commission. On the phone, we have Marty Wax. Martin is the former director of the UC Transportation Center and the department chair of the Department of Planning at UCLA. We invite you to call in with your questions or comments. What do you think about the state's funding, and how do you think we should pay for them? Give us a call at 866-798-TALK, or that's 866-798-8255. Marty, what do you think about our last caller, Lisa, from Solano County's feeling that they did not get enough say in passing SB1?
There was one more point that I wanted to make about the proposition itself, which hasn't been brought up yet, and I think it's quite important. Not only does the proposition, Proposition 6, reduce the revenue from the taxes that we've talked about by repealing SB1, but it also introduces a new requirement that future gasoline tax increases, transportation tax increases, be subject to a direct vote by the populace. And that relates quite clearly to what the previous caller said in reference to, for example, Proposition 13. The question is whether it's wise to have us all vote on whether or not to raise a gas tax, or whether that should be the responsibility of the legislature. For Caltrans and other agencies, including the municipalities that get some of this revenue to fix their streets, the fact that a future increase would have to be voted upon by the general electorate also would result in a kind of instability. It would be hard to predict revenue over a long period of time because the voters would have to act each time there would be an increase. And that would make it hard to plan large-scale projects, which cost millions and sometimes hundreds of millions, and which take 6 and 7 and 8 and 10 years to put in place. So the tax has to be stable. The revenue stream has to be stable over time, and subjecting it each time there's a need for additional revenue to a vote of the populace makes the future revenue flow unpredictable. So there are additional issues at stake in Proposition 6, and if voters believe that they should vote on each and every tax increase of this sort, they should vote for the measure or consider voting for it. But I see good reasons for us to manage the state's fiscal affairs in a much more responsible way by being able to make more long-term arrangements, and that would suggest another reason for voting against it.
Another reason for voting against Prop 6. Let's take another call from Karen in Berkeley.
Yes, good evening. I'm actually calling about motor vehicle registration fees. Now, any vehicle, whether it's a motorcycle, a moped, a car, a truck, and also a boat, is that correct, that has a motor, is considered a motorized vehicle and has to register with the DMV. Is that correct?
Is that correct?
I believe that's correct at some level, yes.
Yeah, okay. So do any of you know what it costs to register a yacht or a big boat that is parked in any of the marinas from Mendocino down to San Diego per year as opposed to an automobile? It's $10 a year, flat fee. For a $100 million yacht or a $100,000 sailboat or any of these boats which are, you could call them luxury vehicles, they only have to pay $10 a year to the DMV to register their motorized vehicle that they are using gasoline for. But I have to pay $270 for a 15-year-old car.
Well, do you think that the SB1 should be amended to include those vehicles, or?
Well, isn't it all motorized vehicles?
Right. So
I can answer that question.
Yeah. Go ahead, Marty.
The motor fuel tax and it is seen as a user fee, and so you pay gasoline tax. Which is like a toll in that you pay as you use the road. If you have a boat, you don't pay the gasoline tax. And if you have a truck which you operate only on your own property and don't use the roads, you also don't pay the gasoline tax. The vehicle registration fee, the basic fee, goes to the support of the California Highway Patrol and not to the road improvement. The registration fee for a boat is in no way being addressed by the by SB1, which is that question. The question is whether we will retain SB1 or repeal it. There is a fee. There is a registration fee, but it's not a user fee for the use of the highway, and that's what's
okay.
By SB1 and
okay.
Transition
fee. Great. Thanks there, for that.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks. We have another caller. Tess from San Francisco.
Hi, I like the issue about money, past money that has been accrued, and how is that being spent? For instance, back in 2010, Obama gave California approximately $3.7 billion in stimulus funding to address transportation and infrastructure. Where has all that money gone, and why is that not being considered in this pool?
Carl, do you want to take that question?
Sure. Tess, thank you for calling in as well. So here are some data points that I hope will be helpful to all of us who slog through Bay Area and beyond traffic on a daily basis. First, we need over the next 10 years $130 billion just to improve the conditions, the current conditions of our state highway system, not even our local streets and roads. And again, Dr. Wax is the expert I don't think we've ever met, but he can clarify if I say anything wrong. It's $130 billion, $13 billion a year that we currently don't have. It was said earlier, Grace, I think you mentioned about the Rainy Day Fund. And kudos to Governor Brown and the legislature for having the fiscal responsibility of a Rainy Day Fund. We learned that from Joseph in the Old Testament, that you're going to maybe have 7 years of plenty. You better be ready for 7 years of hardship. Well, that entire Rainy Day Fund for a state budget in the, what, $150, $175 billion a year range is $16 billion. That would be completely depleted in just over 3 years if Prop 6 were gone and the goal of using the Rainy Day Fund instead were enacted. And this is why this is such a dangerous proposition. We know that we have crumbling conditions of our highways and our local streets and roads. We know we have 1,500 bridges today that the engineers say are safe, unsafe, and deficient. 1,500. As I drove up here just from San Jose to San Francisco for this interview, on Highway 101, we're talking nearly two dozen state bridges and overpasses that need repair, that are in deficient condition. There are dozens in the Bay Area alone. And if it helps, without me scaring myself as I drive home tonight about what I'm driving on, in Santa Clara County, 32 bridges, 101, Routes 9, 17, 82, 85, 87, and 152 are among those 1,500 bridges in unsafe and deficient conditions. I drove through San Mateo County, 9 bridges on Highway 101, 280, and State Route 1. That's what we're dealing with. Why? Because we didn't increase the state gas tax for nearly a quarter of a century. So here's the history lesson. Again, Dr. Wax can correct me if I'm wrong. The California gas tax started in 1923, 95 years ago. It was 2 cents a gallon. If we had that adjusted for inflation in 2017, last year, that 2 cent a gallon gas tax from 1923 would be 29 cents a gallon. This year, near the end of 2018, it would be nearly 30 cents a gallon. Hey, guess what? Do you know what the state gas tax is today with the passage of SB1? 30 cents a gallon. If we had just adjusted for inflation from what the wise folks trying to build our transportation systems in California planned in 1923, it would be where Senate Bill 1 has brought us, and we wouldn't be working through a backlog of 24 years of a lack of funding that, as Dr. Wax said, with fuel efficiency, with the condition of our local streets and roads, with more cars on our roads, with the trucks because of our hot economy and our healthy economy in terms of imports from around the world, that is why we need these funds.
Well, thank you for that. This is City Visions on local public radio, 91.7 KALW San Francisco, on the web at KALW.org. Tonight, we're debating the pros and cons of Proposition 6 with our guests Carl Guardino, the president and CEO of the Silicon Valley Leadership Group, Harmeet Dhillon, a trial lawyer and former candidate for the Assembly, and Martin Wax, former director of the UC Transportation Center and the department chair of the UCLA Department of Planning. We invite you to call in with your questions or comments. What do you think of Prop 6? And feel free to give us a call at 866-798-TALK. Martin, would you like to comment on Carl's last comment?
I wanted to add one point more to what Carl Guardino said. He said I could correct him if he was wrong, and I do not correct him because he was not wrong. Oh. In fact, I did the calculations myself as to what the gas tax from 1923 would be, and it came out with exactly the same result. So he was not wrong, but there's one more point I would make. This rainy day fund would cover about 2 years of revenue. The current balance would cover about 2 years of revenue that would be produced by SB1. And the problem is that that's general revenue. So it is available to be spent on, for example, firefighting, as we've had some very serious forest fires in California and brush fires. And it's also available for use for education and health care. And those are important programs, and transportation would have to compete to get a share of that. So the total balance is only 2 years of the proceeds of revenue that we would get from the gas tax program. And the gas tax is guaranteed by state law and by Article 19 of the Constitution of California to be spent on transportation. So again, if you're planning projects that have that are in the pipeline for 7 and 8 and 10 years before they're open to traffic, where land is being purchased and construction is underway, it's important to know that the gas tax is a stable source of revenue, and the rainy day fund is one for which there would have to be competition each year. And the portion that would go to transportation, it cannot be specified in advance.
We have an email. Thank you for that, Martin. We have an email from Ian in San Francisco. Please have your guests clarify Ms. Dhillon's statement in which she represented the actual costs to families as a tax, as opposed to the fact that it is the cost in excess of wear and tear if the tax does not pass. Currently, California drivers spend up to $739 per year on front-end alignments, shocks, and tire repairs because of driving on bad roads. Facts matter. What do you say to that?
So what I would say is nobody here in this conversation is saying that we shouldn't fix the roads and we shouldn't have good roads. The problem is that we already have taxes in California to address these issues, and if we impose discipline around them, we wouldn't be talking about raiding the rainy day fund or any of that. Nobody is suggesting that here. I don't think that's fiscally responsible. But I think that what's fiscally irresponsible is to allow this bait and switch and raise money repeatedly for different purposes. When you add up all the different taxes and fees in our gas cost, it's actually 95.5 cents a gallon. There are all kinds of fees that relate to environmental issues and other issues like that. Californians already pay the second highest gas taxes in the country after Hawaii. Hawaii is number one, and after that, it's California. Do we have the second best roads in the country? We don't. We never have. And this is not a responsible way of handling our problems. And I personally, as a taxpayer, don't see a problem in using general revenue funds for general obligations in our state, because when we do that, then we have to weigh competing interests against each other, as opposed to thinking this is some kind of bottomless pit. We can keep taxing people more and more and more.
Right. We have a caller, Tony, from San Francisco.
Hi. It's so funny. I was listening to your show, and I was actually commuting home from work from Larkspur. I live in up by Forest Hills in San Francisco, and I have to drive on
Park Presidio, over the Golden Gate Bridge, et cetera, et cetera, 19th Avenue. And it is unbelievable how bad the roads are. And what I see is, you know, the answers seem, both of those ideas seem okay, but what I notice is the mismanagement of funds and the outsourcing to contracts and bidding on, taking the lowest bid on contracts, at least in San Francisco. You will see, I saw them dig up this one road, Pacheco, three times in like 4 months. And it's just no wonder the money's going away. So I really think that what needs to be done is like an overhaul of how the funds are being spent, because especially if the money's there. I mean, I'm in favor of increasing the taxes some, but then to cut out people with electric cars, they already get the, you know, the commuter lane, and as you just said, that you have to make the most money to buy an electric car.
Well,
I can't afford one.
Thanks for your call, Tony. I appreciate that. Carl, what do you say to that, that the way the funds are being used is not efficient, and how can we make sure that any money that's raised for transportation gets used wisely and that our roads do get to be in better shape?
Yeah, and Tony, thank you for calling. Safe travels home from San Francisco to Larkspur. And remember, let's talk about if Prop 6 passes, what would that mean to your commute? I already mentioned the traffic that's taken off the road. It's not a wine train. It is a commuter train called SMART, the Sonoma Marin Area Rapid Transit, and it takes commuter cars off of Highway 101. This would also take away the money to fix the Marin-Sonoma Narrows. And you probably know that road very well, Tony. It's where Highway 101 goes from three lanes to two lanes and then mysteriously back to three again. Well, that's one of the 6,500 projects that Senate Bill 1 is funding that Proposition 6 wants to take away. And if we take it away, we're not going to be able to build that lane because dollars are finite. It's math. And we need to recognize that. And I'm glad you brought up electric cars. And you're right. That is why in their wisdom, as Grace mentioned earlier and as Dr. Wax mentioned earlier, electric cars are now paying. It's $100 a year starting in 2020, plus they pay the transportation improvement fee. And as you noted, you and I can't afford an electric car. My car, again, 9 years old, Prius with 98,000 miles on it, Blue Book value of $6,000, I'll pay $50 a year. 90% of the cars would either pay the $25 a year or the $50 a year based on our depreciated value of our car. So a brand new electric car of $60,000 and up, they pay not only the $100 for the electric vehicle, but another $175 for the transportation improvement fee. Mm-hmm. They're actually paying more than we using gas or hybrids like my Prius would be paying through this. And again, as you mentioned on the phone, Tony, or it was the previous caller before you, $739 is what we pay as an average motorist in fuel inefficiency because of beat-up roads, shocks, alignment, and tire damage. And Marty, Dr. Wax, again, we've never met. You're the expert. If I got any of that wrong, call me on it.
Well, can I add a point about this? Tony mentioned the inefficiency of the spending of our resources. Let's just talk about two Bay Area projects. I mean, we have the Transbay Terminal, which is shut down because the bolts are cracking because somebody didn't do a good job of designing that particular transportation hub, which is one of these projects that this money gets spent on. Another example here in the Bay Area is our, I think, twice over budget Willie Brown span of the Bay Bridge, which, again, made with defective foreign bolts and not money well spent for the taxpayer. Because this money is a bottomless pit that legislators in Sacramento who are out of touch with our people who actually have to commute and work for a living have to suffer through, they think it's a bottomless pit. They can keep coming back to the well and tax us more and more. They don't realize that they're killing the goose that lays the golden egg. Workers like those who have called in today are leaving our state for places where the taxes are lower, the roads are better, and the legislators are more sensitive to the needs of the working person.
And again, remember, the tax today, after this increase, the first tax in nearly the first gas tax increase in California in nearly a quarter of a century, since a Republican governor, George Duke Majan, led the effort for our last increase in the early 1990s but didn't adjust it for inflation, is the same amount as it was when the gas tax started in
California.
And you're
leaving out all the fees, Carl. We can play games with it. It's 95.5 cents out of every gallon. And you're not even talking about the increased talks. Well, you've done filibuster, so I'm getting my time in. So there's also an increased cost of food in our state because of this transportation cost. That's built into the costs that are being imposed on American families.
Well, I think that we're just having a discussion about what the pros and the cons are about the actual policy itself. Let's take another caller. Matthew from San Jose. Matthew, are you there?
Where are environmental groups like the Sierra Club on Prop 6? I'm concerned about safety and traffic, but I'm also concerned about pollution and climate change.
Thanks for your question, Matthew. Carl or Martin, where are environmental groups coming out on Prop 6?
Well, again, Proposition 6 would remove $5.2 billion a year in current transportation funding, 6,500 projects. And while many of us have a principal concern about safety and congestion, there are environmental reasons as well. So the Sierra Club California, if I get any of these wrong, someone correct me, please. The Sierra Club California, the California League of Conservation Voters, the Natural Resources Defense Council, the Nature Conservancy, Save the Bay, all are adamantly opposed to Proposition 6 because we know that bad roads lead to more fuel inefficiency, which is more polluting, which is one of the factors with greenhouse gases and climate change. We know that while it's not a lot, $750 million of this $5.2 billion a year is for transit improvements like the BART extension to San Jose and Santa Clara, which Harmeet is actually running $150 million under budget, not over budget, and will open next year, like funds towards the electrification and modernization of Caltrain, which carries 65,000 weekday passenger trips with electrification by 2022. It's going to grow that capacity by 80% to 110,000 weekday passenger trips, which is going to be incredible for 101 and 280 in the El Camino Real and those other corridors in terms of congestion relief, but also going back to the question about environmental groups, greenhouse gas emission reduction, and pollution reduction.
Thank you for that. We have another caller, Doris from Berkeley.
Hi.
Hi, Doris.
My comment is twofold. I think unless we maximize and encourage higher, shall I say, ridership, both on ferries, which means more ferries, and more available accessibility to ferries, like shuttles to the ferry. What about that? You don't have to drive anywhere. You have one shuttle taking up to 10 people. By membership, you could have them come every day to your house at 7 and bring you back every day, whatever, if that was your situation, or you could do it on a day-by-day basis. No one has called me back from the ferry department or whatever it's called, I forgot the name of the exact organization as it is, but I've emailed them several times and have yet to hear anything back. The other thing is BART. If you don't get to the BART station by 7 in the morning, you are out of luck. You will not find a place to park. So you have to find alternative ways to get to the BART, assuming you have a bus from where you are or some other transport. So accessibility to mass transit is a big, huge issue that no one seems to be discussing. I appreciate it if you could consider these ideas. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Doris. Marty, what do you say about that? More accessibility to mass transit.
I believe that I'm actually attending a conference right now at Lake Arrowhead where that's the subject of the conference.
Very timely.
And the local, the money which goes back to the local governments and the local option sales taxes are being used throughout the state for those purposes. So that's an area in which there's great current reinvestment in the transportation system, the so-called first mile, last mile problem, getting people to and from the transit stops, adding new options, like they just added a whole bunch of new ferry service in New York City. That's highly subsidized because it's environmentally responsible, and it reduces traffic congestion. The proponents of Proposition 6 would regard that as, I think, would regard that as not using the money for the basic purposes for which the taxes are intended. But many of us in the transportation community see these expenditures as complementary to the basic purposes for which the taxes were intended, and is correcting some of the environmental problems that are the result of an automobile-dominant system. So it's included in funding, but to a far lesser extent than new highway projects and highway maintenance projects, which are greatly needed.
Well, in our last few minutes, I'd like to go to you, Harmeet. I think we all agree that California has some really dire transportation infrastructure needs, and it seems that your position is that this is not the right way to fund those needs. What to you would be the ideal way in which we can fund and improve our transportation infrastructure? If not SB1, and repealing Prop 6 is what you want, what do we do next?
I think we should have a lockbox that applies to all the prior allocated taxes, fees, obligations, revenue streams that have been imposed on the taxpayers already, and require that they only be used for these purposes. And if they were only used for these purposes as opposed to other purposes, we'd have more than enough money to efficiently carry out all of these needs. BART is great if you solve for the crime and the serious quality of life issues and cleanliness issues there. But I have a law partner who wants to come to work on BART, but how's she going to get there? There's no parking in any of the BART stations in the East Bay. There's multi-year waiting lists. She's going to have to, guess what, buy a new vehicle, a Vespa, to get to the BART station. So but the NIMBYs out there in the legislature don't want us to have housing solutions that are compatible with the existing infrastructure. So I think that what we need to do is get smart about the taxes we already pay and demand as taxpayers that they be utilized to make our roads the greatest in the country, which they should be since we pay the highest taxes in the country.
Right. Well, and in our final minutes, Carl, yeah, what do you think is the best way for us to address these transportation needs? Is it SB1? Is it creating a lockbox, as Harmeet said?
Thank you, Grace, and thanks for having me on the show tonight, Harmeet. It's been a pleasure to finally meet you in person. Here's good news for Harmeet. While you can't always look back, you can look forward. So, one, in June 5th of this year, by 81% of the vote, we as California voters and taxpayers voted to place that lockbox by our Constitution, and again, by the Independent Legislative Analyst Office, with the restrictions in place that this could only be used for transportation funding as designed in SB1. The California Constitution, Article 19D, revenues derived from vehicle fees imposed under the vehicle license fee can only be used solely for transportation purposes. And the borrowing restrictions against these funds are quite clear. The general fund has to be exhausted, depleted. No general fund for the legislature and the governor to try to use these funds by our Constitution and by the statute for any other purpose. We would have to have a total meltdown to take those funds. And then, even then, they have to pay it back.
Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of sums it up. And best source, Harmeet, for Yes on Prop 6 information?
I think it's the website for Yes on 6. If you just Google that, I think it's okay. VoteYesOnProp6.com.
Okay. And Carl, best source for information on No on Prop 6?
Yeah. NoProp6.com.
Very simple. Well, that's City Visions for this evening. Our guests tonight were Carl Guardino. Carl is the president and CEO of the Silicon Valley Leadership Group, a public policy trade association, and a member of the California Transportation Commission. We've also enjoyed the presence of Harmeet Dhillon, a trial lawyer in San Francisco, a former candidate for assembly, and a member of the Republican National Committee and a longtime conservative activist. On the phone, we had Martin Wax. Martin is the former director of the UC Transportation Center and department chair of the UCLA Department of Planning. Thanks to all of you for joining me tonight. For a link to this and other City Visions shows, to let us know what you thought about tonight's program, and to subscribe to alerts and download podcasts, visit the City Visions page on KALW.org. Our engineer this evening was David LaTulipe. Tonight's show was produced by Wendy Holcomb. Join us next week when we discuss Proposition 10 in our ongoing election coverage. This is Grace Wan. Thanks for listening. Good night, and have a great week.